At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. Whether your pursuit involves a bachelor's, master's, or doctoral degree, GCU's learning environments are designed for supportive networking and collaboration. With over 330 academic programs, GCU provides a path to help you fulfill your dreams. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at GCU. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Hey everybody, LaTanya here. Just so you know, this episode has a trigger warning for suicide, addiction, and sexual assault. So if you are not interested in hearing this content today, that's okay. We will catch you on the next show. For those of you who choose to stick around, this has been your official trigger warning. Thank you. Welcome to the Swarm, everyone. I'm very, very excited to be here to talk about episodes 2 and 3 of Swarm. Honey and Taste are the names of these episodes, and I cannot do this alone. Mari is out this week enjoying herself, luxuriating, some would say. So Chappelle is here to talk about Swarm. And I don't think I've ever been more excited for anything in my entire life. Chappelle, how are you?
I'm good. You know, I flinch every time you call it the Swarm because my country ass calls it the Swarm too. And it is definitely Swarm. So I'm excited because, you know, I got opinions and this is not really my forte, these horror genres. You know, we kind of touched on that a little bit with the Atlanta stuff we talked about, prior to the last season of Atlanta, even some of the last season as well. This is going to be fun. I'm very interested to hear what you think as well.
I'm very excited about this.
And I'm glad Mari's not here, LaTanya, because that way I can make fun of her and she can't talk back.
Uh-oh. I have a feeling that Mari will talk back in a different way.
I won't hear about it.
Mari, we miss you. As always, but Chappelle is going to talk about you today. So
yeah, you gotta drag her while I can. She's going to get me next week, though.
She will. It's going to be wonderful. So tell us about your relationship to the show so far. Like, tell the listeners, have you seen the whole thing? Have you only seen a few episodes? What?
Okay, so I had already decided I wasn't going to watch the show. I said I'll probably binge it eventually, but it wasn't going to be something I really wanted to talk about weekly because I knew LaTanya and Mari really wanted to cover it, and I just don't have time right now to be on every week and every episode. So I was like, you know, I'll watch it and catch up, but it just wasn't at the top of my priority list. And then I started hearing stuff about it, and like the discourse was so polarizing. You know, it was either like, oh, I love this, and it was like people like, I am so confused, I'm out. And it was very, very murky. And then there was all that Chloe Bailey stuff that was kind of annoying to hear about too. And I was like, y'all grow up, goddamn. It was a lot of that going on. And then I get a call from the Purple Pants badass himself, Bryce Isaiah, Survivor's own Bryce Isaiah. And he calls me and he's like, Chappelle, bitch, we got to talk about this. I'm like, Bryce, calm down. He's like, are you watching The Swarms? I'm like, oh God. So he's like, this John on here is doing XYZ and I need to talk about it with somebody. And I was like, okay. You need to contact Mari and LaTanya. He's like, you need to watch this. And then you need to don't watch it because I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I was like, okay. So because of all of that, I knew I needed to actually go and see what all the fuss was about. And then, of course, I wanted to listen to you and Mari talk about it. So I was like, I got to go catch up. Mm-hmm. So I watched the first episode. I'm kind of thinking, okay, this is weird. I'm watching it. I was like, I think I see where this is going. And then it goes in a completely different direction at the end. And I said, oh. Okay, there's a dog barking, there's pie. Okay, you know? And so in that moment, I thought, do I really have to watch the rest of this? Because, you know, a part of me really had an issue with Damson Idris being from Houston and sounding like he's on Snowfall still. Stop it. We don't talk like that here.
Listen, he added a little bit of Southern twang into whatever the thing is he does on Snowfall is.
I'm glad he's dead because that accent was driving me crazy. But I was like, okay, Maybe I'll check out the next one, because I was really hoping that, and I know you and I talked about this off air, it's kind of like an anthology series, or maybe something like Black Mirror or The Twilight Zone, to where it doesn't have to follow a cohesive story throughout. But right. Then when I watched the second episode, I did enjoy that it's a little tied to the first episode, like not completely, but you can see the through line through the second and even the third episode. So yeah, through three episodes, I do have opinions, but that's kind of where I am on Swarm.
Okay. Now you mentioned this a little bit just in terms of where you are, but what do you think about the discourse around this show?
Like I said, it's very polarizing. I know that, you know, the theory is that this is something based on the hive, you know, if you will, the beehive, which we all know are a bunch of lunatics who are obsessed with Beyonce.
Okay. You cannot call the hive lunatics and they're not obsessed
per se.
And I'm not who saying, is your favorite artist?
Gucci Mane. We don't have a hive.
How many Grammys does Gucci Mane have?
Exactly. It's like, well, Beyonce has a billion, so what do what do you know?
Do you think that Gucci Mane is better than Beyonce?
Absolutely.
Then you must die.
Lemonade.
That's it.
Listen, Lemonade versus Lemonade. Let's do a versus. But no, seriously, though, I mean, like, and this is not to single out the hive, because plenty of these stand-ups have toxic fan bases. And not to say that all fan bases are toxic, and not to say that the hive is uniquely toxic. It's just that if you're going to pick on one to make this, like, to kind of draw this idea from, you have to pick the biggest one that you really, that's untouchable, right? And the hive is untouchable because Beyonce has put herself on such a high note that if you're hating on her, a lot of times it's because of something that's within you, you know, it's not really something that she has done. And then she also brings out this side of people that want to protect her because she is excellent. And, you know, and we like to see excellence, especially in Black women, because a lot of times the media doesn't want to hoist that type of excellence up. And so, yeah, everybody gets behind Beyonce. I mean, I called the hive a bunch of, like, lunatics, but I mean, you know, I'm not a member of the hive. I'm just in the background. I pay my membership dues like everybody else. I just don't be at the meetings, you know?
I see. And so, okay.
So, yeah, so that's why I was interested in that. And then you see the people kind of, they making fun of Beyonce. They close. I was like, yeah, Chloe Bailey wouldn't be in this if it was making
exactly.
fun of Beyonce.
Thank Beyonce. You so much.
Yeah, so the discourse has been weird, but I think the show is weird. And I think that's why you get such abstract thoughts from people where they think, you know, certain things are real, certain things that should not be considered real that are real. And then you also have these title cards at the beginning of every episode saying, no, this is absolutely real. It's about specific people right now. I was like, oh, because Donald Glover said it has to be true, right?
Yes.
I think that there's a lot going on here. And I think that, and I like that you and Mari really highlighted, you know, some of the other issues with The Swarm. I'm sorry, with The Swarm. With Swarm as a TV show, you know, because, you know, a lot of people have been trying to turn this into the Donald Glover show, right?
Exactly.
And Demi Neighbors is very much involved in it. And she is a co-creator, and she is a decorated co-creator. And she's from Houston, Texas, which we know the most talented people come from. Janine, Beyonce, Chappelle. It's what we do here. And so,
we were saying, I'm sure you heard, I don't know what's in the water in Houston.
Yeah.
I don't know what happens there.
Yeah, but it's good water here. You know what I'm saying?
It's ridiculous.
H-Town, stand up. So I'm just saying that, and I'm wearing my Astros hat. No, I know they can't see me, but I'm wearing my Astros hat today. But yeah, this is there's a lot going on. There's a lot to unpack about every episode so far that I've seen. And so I can only imagine once you get, what are y'all, 8-7 episodes in total so far, or period? You know?
Period, yeah.
Yeah, and so I think by the time you get to episode 7, this is going to give you a lot to talk about moving forward. And I don't know if there's a potential for a second season, but I could potentially see you doing this in a different realm. Maybe it's not so much you know, based on this one fandom. Maybe it becomes like a larger topic, who knows. So a lot of thoughts here for Swarm.
Okay, and then finally, before we get into episode 2, Honey, can you talk a little bit about Dominique Fishback's performance
as a stripper? I have thoughts.
We'll get to those. I knew that you were going to have some thoughts, especially about that first dance. but no, her performance on the show as Dre.
So I'm inclined to love her just because of who she is. Like, I mean, she's gorgeous. She's talented. And so, like, as a person, you know, Dominique Fishback, she can do no wrong for me currently. But as Dre, kind of struggling here because Dre is a serial killer that we know now through this third episode. We know that, well, through one episode, we knew she was a serial killer, but she's a mass murderer.
She only murdered one person. In episode one.
Yeah.
So you don't become a serial until you've done three or more.
Well, she's up to like eight now. So I think that's solid. And so she is a serial killer. And so I do struggle with that. She does seem like she has some, you know, cognitive or behavioral disorders maybe. And so that's why I kind of look at her like she doesn't feel like I don't want to say that she's not all there, but it definitely feels like there's something off, you know. And so I'm not quite sure if there's some type of imbalance that we should know about, or maybe this is just somebody who's who is completely like cognitively all there and just has snapped. Who knows? But it's hard for me to gauge her because of that, right? So I try to look at it through both lenses. Like, is this a person who is just lost in the sauce when it comes to this fandom, or is this a person who was already going to struggle with certain aspects of life, like the social behaviors, who is now struggling with this because this is overwhelming to them? And so watching it through both of those lenses, I'm thinking, okay, this might be your villain, but this might also be a rootable villain. Or maybe this is just a very misunderstood person who should be, institutionalized. Who knows? Somebody should go gather them. But through episode two, by the end of episode two, this became Chappelle trying to figure out how she's going to kill the next person. Uh-huh. And like, who does she come into contact with next? Like, she's like Forrest Gump. She goes into a different town. She meets them. She either enhances or ruins their life. And then she moves on to the next person. And so now I'm like, every episode I'm clicking, thinking, okay, how are these people going to die? And so, yeah, that's kind of my thoughts about the character D. Just trying to see who she kills next. But Dominique Fishback is a queen. She can do no wrong. I'm part of her hive.
I love her.
Yeah.
I love her so much. And I love her in this role. And I love that she may not necessarily have cognitive issues, because some people have read her as autism coded.
I saw that. Yeah.
And I've read stuff about that. But she might just be representing for the weird girls. You know what I mean? Like, maybe she's just weird like me.
Yeah, but
doesn't like understand social cues.
I'm weird too. But, you know, at some point, ma'am, the way you was eating that pie. You know,
that happened in one take, apparently.
I could tell.
Wow. Okay. This is going to be fun.
Hot, huh?
Yeah. Uh-huh. This is going to be a lot of fun. As soon as we get back, we are going to talk to you about episode two of Swarm, Honey. Okay. And we're back. We're here to talk about episodes two and three today. If you have not seen any other episodes past this, fantastic. If you watched the entire thing, wonderful. But we're not going to be spoiling anything past episode three, which is great for Chappelle, because he hasn't seen anything past episode three, so he can't spoil you. So really, this is a warning to myself. okay. So we talked about Dominique Fishback. She stars as Dre. Then we have recurring characters of Chloe Bailey as Marissa Jackson. Then we have Nyrene S. Brown as Nyjah, who is the pop star. In this episode, we have Atkins Esteman as Reggie. Paris Jackson as Haley. And X Mayo is also in this episode as one of the lure ladies. So this episode is hilarious. It is set in Fayetteville, Tennessee in 2017. And we just kind of follow a man as he is getting out of his car and going into the strip club, which immediately made me think of you, Chappelle, because I can see you having a drink, using some mouthwash, and then gathering your monies and heading right into the strip club.
Okay. Number one, I have not been to one of those places in a very, very long time. That was a past life I used to live. Uh-huh. Obviously pre-COVID, because, you know, they shut that down and now you can do that online. But prior to that, you know, maybe I've ventured into, I've seen them before, you know, I heard they get good wings. But Latanya, I was today years old when I found out that was Paris Jackson. Who knew? Did y'all know beforehand that she was going to be here? Because I had no clue.
No. There are, like, we get in the first episode, we get Rory Culkin. And then in this episode, we get Paris Jackson, which when I was watching this, I was like, who is this? Like, why does she look so familiar? And then I looked it up and I was like, that there is no way that is Paris Jackson. This is perfect casting, especially for reasons that we'll discuss during the scene where they're having lunch.
Yeah, and even if you think about fandoms, Michael, no fandom has ever been bigger than the Michael Jackson hive. You know,
huge.
And I am a card-carrying member of that. You know, I go to the meetings. I am a Michael defender, and we can talk about it offline if you want to. You know, come see me. But you know, and does your favorite artist have more Grammys than Michael? Then don't talk to me. You know what I'm saying? But
the answer is yes.
Yes, for some people, lunatics. if your favorite artist has more Grammys than Michael, then you're probably a sociopath. But that's neither here nor there.
Guilty, yeah. I guess.
I'm not arguing with you. Okay, look, I'm happy Mari's not here. So what I'm saying is that if you want somebody to kind of embody that, it's definitely Paris Jackson, who has seen fandoms firsthand. I mean, Michael was literally hiding his children from the world for a long time.
Yeah,
And so. That's why it didn't just immediately pop into my head that I was Paris Jackson, because I haven't seen her in a while.
Yeah, no, she, but she does a really good job in this episode.
I thought so.
So Dre is, tell us about this dance that Dre is doing, the first time that she is dancing. This is one of the most hilarious parts of this episode to me.
I was watching it. Because again, I didn't know if this was a continuation of the first episode or if this was an anthology where she's different characters. Because it doesn't start off, we don't get just like an introduction into her in this episode. It very much starts with that man you were talking about who walks into the club. So I'm watching her dance and I'm thinking, oh, there's no way that woman from the first episode is a stripper now until she starts dancing. And I was like, oh, that's absolutely the same woman. That is absolutely her. That's the lady with the pie. What is happening? I have nothing good to say about her dance. I do like that she did the lazy stripper bounce at the end where she was just trying to get information from the guy and just gave up. If you want to hear my thoughts about strip clubs and strippers, check out Bryce and I's coverage on the Purple Pants podcast of P-Valley. Really want to hear me go in about strippers. But this stripper dance here was interesting to say the least.
The choreography here is so hilarious because it's just as if you were dancing around your room and there just happened to be a stripper pole in there, but you're in public this time.
Yeah, this was a Tuesday afternoon strip club performance. Not that I've ever been to one, but you know, so I've heard.
Not that you know with that, like that you have a metric for that kind of thing.
Right, you see a lot of bullet holes at those, just saying,
oh,
in
my
different
God.
Places. Yeah.
Okay, so this guy, the way that this guy is dropping money for her, it's just one of the funniest things I've ever seen. He's like cautiously giving her the ones.
Wouldn't you? She's terrifying. Get off the ma'am.
The fact that a man will be mesmerized by anything at this point. Like, he's still like yelling at her when she decides to go off after she like ate some of his food.
Yeah. We find out very quickly that people don't really mind her when she's eating. They're eating, you know, they kind of enjoy that. We find that later on in this episode.
People do enjoy that.
People enjoy it a lot.
People enjoy it a little too much.
Yes, but he's better than me. I would have kept my dollars to myself. I actually would have gone to greener pastures.
Yeah. So she asked this guy where his friend is. And the friend's name is Reggie. And he basically is like, I have no idea. Like, what are you talking about? So she storms off stage, and when she gets backstage, perhaps one of the best lines in this entire show is uttered, where one of the strippers is talking to her and saying, what were you doing out there? This song, and she was like, it's one of Nigel's most profound songs. And she was just like, it's a song about a dead baby. Our job is to make dicks hard.
Flo Millie once said, dicks up when I step in the party, you know, and that's the kind of energy I expect from my strippers, and I wasn't getting that here, not at all.
No. So it's
what is happening?
So it's time to leave, and the first Paris Jackson's character actually tells Dre, I really liked your dance. So it's time to leave, it's daytime. and Dre is going to get in her car, and she kind of like doesn't even notice, but we definitely do. What looks like the pussy wagon, honestly.
That's what I said. I said, wait, the pussy wagon is here. Does what did y'all miss that too? Because I said that's the exact same paint job.
Yeah.
Is that Buck who likes the fuck? I thought we killed him.
His car lives on.
Oh yeah, probably.
Yeah. Paris Jackson is just doing an amazing job on top of the car, like yelling her brains out at this boy who will not let her into the car that she pays for. Wild mm-hmm. stuff. And so she follows Dre home to this like kind of like messed up little apartment that is just Dre's space. And Dre is tweeting about Reggie and trying to get some information about where Reggie is. And we learned that Reggie was the person in episode one who said that Marissa, who we believe killed herself, died by suicide, was that person got what they deserved, stupid AF, and was talking about how anybody could kill themselves over Festival, the Nyjah album. And so Dre is in hot pursuit of this guy. And then one of the dancers, I think her name is Haley, but she goes by Halsey as her stage name. Yeah, her name is Haley.
Yeah.
shows up and is like, yeah, I followed you here. Can you let me in? I've got to pee. And so she does. And then they end up going to get lunch together. What did you think about Paris Jackson's entrance in this show?
Paris Jackson's stage name being Halsey is so hilarious because another biracial queen who does not look it. get that African-American woman her things. I screamed. I was like, yes, white chocolate queen.
Question mark.
Hey, Natanya, is this, look, I was like, is this Paris Michael Catherine Jackson's first acting role, like in a big thing? Or I don't really know her work prior to this.
So apparently she's been in some other things, but just like smaller roles. I think this mm-hmm. is the biggest role that she's ever had. And it's honestly like she's been appearing on talk shows, and she has 3 credits before this. But other wow. than that, she apparently is the executive producer of one of those credits. Oh. But other than that, no, like this is basically her big acting debut. And I don't want to ruin this for people going forward, but we're going to get a huge acting debut coming up in episode 5. So you all need to look forward to that.
Well, I appreciate this. If this is her first big acting role, which it sounds like it is, I think she
episode
did really
4,
well.
I mean, sorry. Yeah, no, she did a really good job, I thought. Like, she was really believable. She was really funny.
Mm-hmm, very funny.
Like, when she got her period and said it looked like an El Chapo crime scene.
I screamed again. I screamed because Dre then said, oh, I got napkins. I was like, what are you going to do with that?
So, yeah. Basically, they're at lunch now, and an amazing scene happens where they're sitting there and they're talking, and mostly Dre is eating and mm-hmm. Haley is talking. And Haley is just like, yeah, like, I can't believe I put up with this guy, my boyfriend. I had to leave my last boyfriend because I'm Black. And Dre is like, wait, you're Black? And then Haley goes, yeah, my dad's half. And Dre goes, half what?
And somewhere the real Halsey just punched the wall. This is the thing, I promise. You know? somewhere Logic just fell to his knees in the Albertsons parking lot. You know, it's a lot of these people catching strays today.
We never do get the answer to the question, half what? Half what, Black? So after eating, Dre, who has the car, takes Haley back to her boyfriend's house, but Haley wants her to come in and offers to pay her to do so because she doesn't want her boyfriend thinking that she had been out with some other person. And Dre goes to the bathroom, is checking Twitter, finds out, I think, that Nyjah is having twins, which is a very big development for everybody in the swarm. And when Haley and her boyfriend start to have an argument, Dre leaves. When she gets back to her home, Haley is just there.
Yeah, to be there,
which is how weird.
And inside the house, you know, and that's the thing, Dre. For all, you know, as protective she is over Nigel, she's not really protective with herself that much, because she allows Haley to just enter her life against, like, all, like, you can tell she's against this. Like, why are you here? How do you keep showing up in these places? But she lets her guard down so quickly because she's so preoccupied, I guess, with Nigel.
Oh, yeah. Because she tells Haley before they have lunch, I don't have time for this. I have lots of stuff to do today. Meaning, I need to kill this man.
I need to kill this man and get back to looking on Instagram. What are you talking about? I have things to do.
I have so much stuff to do. And we really see Haley kind of like take over the space. Like, she's in bed with her feet up, like eating pizza and laughing at something on TV and drinking wine. We get a pretty quick cut, though, to Dre, who decides to go back to Haley's boyfriend's house and kill him. I don't really know. Do you know why this murder happened? Do you think it's just an abusive guys thing?
Yeah, well, I started to think that for sure, because when Haley started telling her story and she started talking about her abusive relationship, you know, it was hard to not think about the problematic relationship that, you know, Dre's friend had with Dancing with Idris Khalid, in the first episode. Yeah. And so I was like, maybe there's some overlap there. But then eventually I thought, nah, Dre just wants to murder her so she'll get the hell out of her house. And so I said, that's what it is. She kills him. She buries the body. Haley, she may or may not kill Haley. It depends on how she feels in the moment. She ends up doing it anyway. But yeah, if I could just get rid of them, then I could get back to what I was trying to do. I think she just looked at the guy as an obstacle and potentially Haley as one too.
Yeah, Dre shot her in order to shut her up.
Her last words were, "I feel like Halsey right now."
She died at a high, really never knew what hit her. And one of the best parts of this episode is when Dre is like burying these two bodies in their backyard, and she goes and she's eating too, because she always has to eat after a kill, like a predator. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Hey Siri, who's Halsey?"
And Siri's like, a black artist from
so after these murders, though, Dre has kind of like stepped it up at the strip club, don't you think?
Yeah, she was shaking that ass. It was good. I was actually kind of shocked, and I thought, does murder bring that out of you? And I wonder. I can't think of any. Well, yeah, I watch P-Valley. I can think of a couple murderous strippers. So, and I've seen Roulette do some good things there. Not to spoil it. So, I'm just letting you know. It wasn't too far-fetched to see her stepping it up. She really made some money this time.
She made a lot of money. Yeah. Dancing to yet another Naja song. Mm-hmm. These songs are available on Spotify, by the way.
No thanks. No thank you. We are good, we are safe. You don't have to worry about me at all.
So the same woman who told her about the ways of the business mm-hmm. comes up to her with a bunch of the other ladies and is like, we are do you want to make some more money tonight? And Dre is like, And they said that they need a designated driver for this one job they're going to do with a college baseball team. And so we know Drea said repeatedly that she doesn't drink. She doesn't really smoke weed at all, because Marissa only made her do it that one time. And she slept forever. So she's like, yeah, I'll do this thing if it means I get to make more money. And we get to this scene of, I guess, what happens when you invite strippers over to the house. I would not know.
I just want to know why, when you invite strippers to the house, all the men in the house were all naked. I said, wait, I thought y'all contracted. I didn't know y'all was the strippers too. Somebody got to have it. Yeah, it seemed like the strippers were more dressed than all the males in the house. They'd all come. They had one thing on their minds, and they disrobed to handle those things.
I think it's great, honestly, because there's so much like female nudity on the screen, just in general these days, that it's nice to have some male nudity out there to balance it out, because the men aren't often put into those same situations as women are. So I thought that was really interesting.
I respect your opinion and I politely disagree, but okay. We don't have to agree on everything.
We don't have to agree on everything. What did you think of the little speech that Dre gave in the car when she was driving them over there and they asked her about whether men are trash or are useful? And she was just like, I think that the entire male form is a waste. I think that sex is a waste. There are many other ways to derive pleasure. A woman needs no one.
I respect her position and I politely disagree. I think that there are some things that she said that I'm like, you go, girl. Women don't need nobody. But then also, like, I don't think I'm a waste. I think I'm pretty damn decent. I'm a goddamn delight. So she just ain't met me yet. That's all I'll say.
Well, you should be happy that she hasn't, because she would murder you.
I pray to God
you.
I never come across her. You know, I would not play with Nyjah. I would tell her wherever she want to hear. Yeah. Nyjah's the best. You go, girl. You go get her. You need a ride, I'll drive you over there.
Exactly. So why they're at this house, I guess, with the guys, the college baseball team. Mm-hmm. Dre decides to get a snack and to go into the other room so she doesn't have to like be a part of this like mini orgy that's happening around her. There's this guy who comes in and he's like, oh, I didn't know that anyone was in here. I thought I was just like finding a quiet space. I have a girlfriend. I'm just trying to be good. Those guys are crazy. And then he goes,
get the hell out of here. We know what you're about to do.
You're about to do. And he's like, would you mind if I just jerked off to you?
To be fair, I didn't know he was going to do that.
No, I didn't either. And he says $100. She says $1,000. He gives it to her very readily. And she was like, all right, but I'm still going to eat.
He said, I prefer it. And then he just goes to town. What is happening?
This scene.
This was supposed to be you and Mari. I was not supposed to be in this. Mari, it should have been you. It should have been you.
This scene is so great. Yeah. Like everything about it, down to the bite it harder, is hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, they made some points. But yeah, I think when the other stripper lady comes in and she's like, I knew you was a freak. And she walks out, I'm like, you had a point.
You had a point. Yeah. So they decide to leave this house. They're on the way. They're moneyed and a little drunk maybe, and really excited about the night. And all of a sudden the tire pops and they have to pull over. And even though two of them in the group know how to change a tire, which is honestly way better than me. I have no idea, and I know it's bad and it's not feminist to me at all, but I do not know how to do that.
Yeah, that one lady said, it's 2023. Yes, I know how to change the tire.
Of course I know how to change the tire.
Thank God, you know. I support women's rights and wrongs, but at some point, you got to stand up for yourself. You cannot be on the side of the road hoping for a random male to pass by and flange your
flat tire. I know, it's really bad.
Triple A, damn it.
I know. That's why I have services for a reason. And so just as they think that all is lost, because Dre does not let this woman go into the trunk, because obviously she has some murder materials in there.
So it's just like her items in there. Because they said you have a dead body in there. She freaks out.
She laughs so hard.
But I was thinking, well, do you have a dead body in there? Because you should, right? You buried those. Unless she has a dead body in there.
She could have a dead body in there.
Yeah, like off-screen dead body? Or maybe she has a... Damson Idris's dead body. You know, she's killed someone else.
She has to have killed someone else, and we just didn't see it. The way that she reacts when they ask if she has a dead body is just too ridiculous, I guess is the way to say it. There's a truck pulling up and they're like, do the thing. And so they all do one pose and they're like, no, we're gonna get killed. Do the other pose.
I mean, which
Which I wish we had video for this podcast.
I know, right?
What you all missed was Chappelle doing both poses.
Yeah, I threw up the H and then I did like a little sexy thing right here. Right,
did a sexy thing.
A little sexy thing out here.
So yeah, this is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the guy who pulls up is Reggie. It is Dre's target. He pulls up in his Tonk truck, and he's like, oh, I can just change the whole thing out back in my house. You all are the lure ladies. This is wonderful. So they get into the truck. They end up back at Reggie's house. And Reggie is just about to, get the party, continue the party, I guess, with some tequila and orange drink, which sounds terrible to me.
No, been there, done that. It's good.
Okay. Sounds awful.
It's fine.
Okay. And before he can even like escape the room, Dre is like, who's your favorite artist? Which, by the way, is just such a killer line, like no pun intended. That's a killer line for someone to have who is a serial murderer, who like that's the thing that their catchphrase that they say every time. I love it.
It's very do you like scary movies, you know?
It's
the same vein. Yeah.
And she is basically just like, why did you say X, Y, and Z laughing emoji? And he was like, I don't remember saying all that, but I'm just going to go and get the tequila and orange drink. Right. So he goes out, he changed the tire, he tunes up the car, and Dre goes back outside to ask him whether or not he knows Marissa Jackson. That's my sister. She's dead. And the whole thing is just the awkward interactions in this are just out of control.
Yeah, and it's very indicative of kind of stuff you and Mari were talking about last episode, where people with parasocial relationships and people who are friends online, and how that means a lot to some people, and it means nothing to other people, right? So he talked about Marissa Jackson as almost like an abstract figure of like this idea of somebody killing themselves as a stand for another artist, like an artist or something like that, right? But he did not humanize her. Like, there was no person connected to that name. So it was just something he said. He probably turned his phone off or went on back to what he was doing. He wasn't completely invested in that. But he said that to somebody who, that's almost her entire life, right? That girl's death meant so much to her. And then it was tied to this artist that means even more to her. So it's like, for her, that was her whole world. And for him, that was just an offhand statement he said on the internet. And that's a bigger commentary on stuff that we don't really talk about a lot, is that one person's, you know, troll tweet is ruining the next person's life, and you can't control which one it is. You know, you don't know what you send out to the internet and how that affects people. Like, I've been calling the Beehive like psychopaths and sociopaths, and I mean it. I mean every word. I'm joking, but I keep saying I'm joking because I want people to know that I'm not actually saying that people who are big fans of Beyonce are sociopaths. But a lot of times people get on the internet and say things that they might not even mean or care about that really affect people deeply. And now we see this man kind of he's kind of getting the fruits of that, right? Like, he seemed like an okay guy. I mean, he stopped and gave these people a ride. He didn't have to.
Yeah.
He didn't offer them, you know, he didn't ask him for any money. We haven't seen him ask for any, like, anything inappropriate.
Right.
So it's like, he stopped out the kindness of his heart. And now he's getting, murdered for, you know, this one thing he said. And so we really should be careful about what we put on the internet and just how we interact with people as humans, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I'm glad that you said that. That's a definite, like, through line of this series, because every person that she hunts down, we will learn, is someone who said something online, either about Nyjah or about her sister.
Yeah.
So, or both.
Or both.
He does all the work he needs to do on the car. They get ready to leave, and then we hear those bees again. They start buzzing. What do you think of the sound mixing and design in this show?
I like the bees thing because, and I like the blood. I like the blood because it reminds me of, you know, like you said, that swarm logo is kind of that Beyonce color. Like it's mm-hmm. something about that, like constant, you know, that blood just appearing everywhere. It's kind of like, okay, I like that. But the bees thing, it really gives me those Caprini Green Candyman vibes.
Yes. You know what I'm talking about? Yes.
I remember being a kid. I remember I was over at one of a friend's house and we must have been like first or second grade, but his parents were watching Candyman and we were in the other room like playing like, you know, video games or something. And then he's like, oh, we got to go see what they're doing. And so we're like sneaking around. And I remember like peeking my head over the couch to see what's on the screen. And they opened the bathroom stall and there's just bees everywhere. I was like, ah, hell no, I got to go. I cannot wait for my mom to come get me. That like,
oh
that
my really, God.
Yeah, that got me. So it's like that buzzing kind of puts me back in that moment of just like, yeah, remember how menacing that was?
Right.
Here it is again. It's kind of like a motif throughout this series.
Yeah. Still one of my biggest accomplishments as a podcaster is that somehow I got Tony Todd to follow me on Twitter.
Which is amazing.
Which it just makes me so happy every time he posts something. I'm like, you follow me. And you know like me. My stuff. I love it. yeah. We see Dre go back in the house saying that she has to pee. And these ladies' reactions when she's like, you got to pee now? Like, we are never leaving is how I feel all the time when I hang out with my friends.
I'm like that, too. I am a very social person. And you've seen me in action.
Yes.
But when I'm ready to go, I'm ready to
go. It's time to go.
It's time to go. And I cannot stand hold on, I got to go do this. I was like, whoa, you had plenty of time to knock that out before it was time to go. Chappelle is on 10 until midnight. And then at 12:01, when you said it was time to go, I'm like, okay, you said it was time to go. Why are you still in the, why are you grabbing one more thing? Why are you just now closing your tab? It's time to go. So I felt them in this part.
Yeah, I did too. But she's not going to pee. She picks up a pan and goes to the shower because she hears the shower on and she prepares to hit Reggie in the head like she has done with her victims before. However, he's not in the shower. He's just in his robe about to take a shower and he comes up from behind and she still manages to hit him on the head once, but he overpowers her because she is tiny compared to him. And
what did she think was going to happen here with this frying pan and this huge gentleman? Because even if you got me one time, you'd have to hit him really, really hard to make it
really hard. Yeah. Which she learns the hard way, honestly, because immediately Reggie is on top of her and strangling her, which like for me, I was like, okay, in law school, we learned that there's like a certain type of escalation that is okay in certain states. So like if someone comes at you with a knife, but you shoot them, then you're going to be liable for something because you escalated the fight, right? Mm-hmm. Like, do you think this was escalation or was it kill or be killed?
It was kill or be killed. We know that to be, we know that to be a fact. Now, and that might be results oriented because we know she is a serial killer. But at the same time, he was in the shower. She was going to hit him with a frying pan. Yeah, like if just knowing that walking out of the frying pan to get bludgeoned, it had to either be like, maybe she just wants him to go to sleep. You know, like what is the alternative to this moment? You know, I think she was trying to kill him. Now, is there a way he could have bludgeoned her and then got away?
Yes.
Probably not, because there's a gang of women outside who also might want to kill him. He doesn't know why these women are in his house or what they're going to do. I don't blame him for trying to kill her because she tried to kill him. But I also think that, you know, maybe in certain situations there are people who will take it to the next level. If you're in a fight and you decide to shoot somebody, yeah, that's crazy. But if you're trying to blindside somebody in the shower with a skillet, yeah, ma'am, if he shot you, I think he'd be okay,
especially in Tennessee.
Right. And I was rooting for him. Make no mistake. This woman is a murderer. I know there's several more episodes of this show left, but I was like, if we could just take her out now and just get a new main character next episode, I'd be fine with it because this lady is stressing me out.
Yeah, Reggie gets the best of her. He's choking the life out of her. And then this was when women start protecting women. And all of the lure ladies come in and one hits him with a lamp and that does nothing. So they all start hitting him with their purses or whatever they have in hand. And like, get off of her, get off of her. And then finally, they're able to struggle and get him so that he's like upright. And one of the ladies shoots him. Double tap. Yeah.
See,
and he's dead.
And this is an escalation. This is what I'm talking about. This is exactly what they taught you in law school. This man was having a one-on-one fight with a woman who started the fight, and then he got jumped by these strippers. I think all the strippers should be tried and convicted.
Oh, my God.
Is that not what happened? Is that not what happened?
Listen. If you walk in and you see a man on top of someone that you know, on top of a woman, then you're going to automatically think that that man is trying to kill or, like, you know, sexually assault that woman, or maybe both. And so you're going to do whatever you can to make that situation stop. He's not going to stop choking her unless he is no longer alive. She hit him over the head with a lamp and he continued. Yes.
And I hear you. Now apply that same logic to him getting out of the shower and getting bludgeoned with a skillet.
No.
There's no reason for him to believe that she's not going to stop hitting him with a skillet. So if he was escalating by choking the hell out of her for trying to beat him upside the head with a skillet, they definitely escalated by jumping him and then shooting him for having a fight with a woman who tried to kill him. I'm sorry, but the defense rests his case. That man is innocent, damn it. And his life was taken too soon.
Wow. Okay.
All these strippers should be brought to justice now.
Well, we really don't find out what happens to them because once he's off of Dre and he's dead, she's like, I'm gonna be sick, and she runs out of the house and gets into her car and leaves them high and dry as they debate what exactly to do.
Yep. And look at them. Dumb as hell. You got left holding the frying pan for this woman that you didn't even know. Should have just let her die.
Yeah, still calling her Carmen. She has a different name in pretty much every episode.
Yeah, people remember. Eventually she starts revealing her name, but we'll talk about that in the next one.
Exactly. It is wild what happens. And the episode just ends there.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yep.
That is episode 2. Honey, Chappelle, thoughts on the overall episode?
I thought the episode was funny. And so because of that, I didn't think the first episode was funny at all. And so I thought the first episode was tragic and sad and it was awkward and it was uncomfortable. And it was, I didn't love it. Second episode, I thought was funny. So I didn't mind watching the third episode, you know? And that's what I was saying. After the first episode, I understood why it was so polarizing. But the second one, I was like, okay, let's see what she does next. You know, kind of just like, you know, kind of a monster of the day type of thing for Dre, you know?
Yeah, exactly. All right. That was fun. So I can only imagine how much fun the next episode is going to be to talk about. When we come back, we will be discussing episode 3, Taste. Okay. And we're back. Here we go again. Episode 3, Taste. All of these different titles are so hilarious as well. The cast for this episode, as always, Dominique Fishback is Dre. In a kind of flashback or video, we get Chloe Bailey, a recurring character, as Marissa. Nyrene S. Brown is Nyjah, and Byron Bowers is George. All right, episode 3, initial thoughts.
This was fun. This was fun. That's all I can say. Yeah, there's a lot to talk about here.
One. Yeah, it was a fun one. So the episode starts with iPhone footage of Chloe Bailey's character talking about seeing Nyjah in concert and how incredible the performance is. It's hilarious because these are all things that we say about Beyonce. Like, if I see another person in leotard and knee pads, I'm going to lose it. They can't move like her. They can't breathe like her while they're doing it. Like, this is all just, like, straight out of Beyonce 101 handbook. Not that we have a handbook.
I'm sure y'all have meetings or something where y'all discuss, like, the minutes and stuff like that.
That's what the concerts are for.
Oh, really? I've never been to one. I don't have $1 billion.
I know, seriously. I've never been to one either because I am not rich, but I am very much considering getting rid of some things in the month of July so I can go to Soldier Field and see Beyonce.
Yeah.
Just, you're like, I'm not doing that.
I can't. Yeah. I don't have the money.
Yeah.
I do not have the things. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So we shift to a more upscale house where a man walks into his own home and he hears some noises. And out of nowhere, when he's checking the closet, we get the lights on and Dre hits him with some type of hammer in the leg. And as he's crawling away, she does her thing. And she's like, "Who?" It's a sledgehammer, I think. She goes, "Who's your favorite artist?" And this artist was something like Little Gibble or something like that. And she was like, he is a pedophile who uses the same beats over and over again and couldn't write a good song without a feature to save his life. How many Grammys does Little Gibble have? One. How many Grammys does Nyjah have? 26. Is Little Gibble better than Nyjah? And then she shows him like the receipts that she has on him. And the last thing that he says before he dies is Twitter.
Look, if somebody held my tweets against me, I too would probably. I've talked a lot of crap about people's favorite artists, and mostly in jest. There are some artists that I just don't understand why people are fans of them, and I don't get it. But yeah, I would really hate to see. Like, I think the meanest thing I've ever said. Let me think about the meanest thing I've ever said about Beyonce.
Oh wow.
I think, there was a. Oh, okay. So there was a funny tweet going around where they were talking about the Beyonce tickets and how difficult they were to get them, and they were like, "Oh no, this concert is for Black women, and I know Beyonce herself would want the first people to get tickets are Black women with two Black grandparents." And I tweeted, "Does Beyonce even have two Black grandparents?" Because and the responses were like, "Man, I don't know." You know, like, Hive came for me, but they had to do their background check first. Spoiler alert, she does have two Black grandparents. But I like the fact that it was ambiguous. I like the fact that people didn't know where to be.
People had no idea. That's real. That's a good one.
They drew that line in the sand, not me. I just wanted to ask a
question. Yeah, you should know what you're talking about before you start tweeting, is mm-hmm. really what that teaches us.
Exactly. Dre
has made it to Los Angeles now, sunny LA. And she's stalking someone on Twitter named Alice, who has been saying bad things about Nyjah. So first we see Alice's tweets that call out Nyjah and her fan base for being trolls. And then we see an article where Alice accuses Nyjah of police brutality with her music. This is a MAGA chick, obviously.
Obviously. And you know, I don't want to paint any of Beyonce haters with a broad brush, but a lot of times they just don't understand. I'll say they don't see the content from the same perspective as somebody like Beyonce does for cultural reasons, you know, and that might be because they want to make America great again. Uh-huh. And so, you know, we've seen Beyonce, and I'm using Beyonce as a, you know, because obviously a lot of this is derived from the Hive. I know it's not all about her, but she is definitely somebody who gets picked on by conservatives whenever she performs. Yes. I remember years ago when she did that.
Well, the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they were, I remember, first of all, I'm picking on the Republicans, but don't make no mistake, the Black people was fooling too. They, "Oh my God, she must be the Illuminati, this, that, and other." And so, but, you know, after her Bruno Mars performance, the Lemonade variety, they were not happy with her. And so I wouldn't be shocked if Beyonce has gotten some of these comments as well.
Oh, yeah. No, she's definitely gotten these comments. Like, this woman is like, "Newsflash, Nyjah, some of your fans are white." And I'm like, oh, God.
And yet they're still fans. Must not be that bad.
I know. Seriously. Must be okay. So Dre finds out where this woman lives and goes to her house to kind of stake it out. Someone called it stalking. And
it's definitely stalking again. The Swarm members are creative with the way they present some of this information sometimes.
Yep.
Yeah.
She follows Alice to where Alice works out, to the gym. And when she gets restricted because you're supposed to use like an app and scan it as you come in, and she just, you know, puts her hat down and tries to walk past. And the front desk is like, "Excuse me, do you have membership. And then this white guy walks up and he's like, oh my God, like insert name here. I haven't seen you in forever. Completely mistaking Dre for a different black woman.
I mean, y'all do all look, I mean, y'all have brown skin, you know, so, except Halsey, but that's not the end. Leave her alone. We can pick on Tori Kelly too.
Oh no, not Tori Kelly.
Another black queen.
I was like a month old. Like a month ago, I learned.
A month ago and old.
I learned a month ago that Tori Kelly was a black queen.
I don't know if she's a black queen per
I think
se.
She
but...
is like Afro-Latina.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, there's a lot of phenotype involved in blackness as well. And I think we should not ignore that, just all I'll say.
Yeah, yeah, Jesus. Anyway,
I'm gonna have y'all podcast taken down.
Vari's gonna come back and it's just gonna be on fire. And she's gonna be like, what happened? I leave for 1 week. So she heads to the gym. She is able to get in because this guy who mistook her for someone else gets her in with his pass. And he goes away. She sees Alice. She picks up a kettlebell, follows her into the elevator, and is acting some real weird elevator etiquette. Like, if you ever want to freak somebody out, you go into the elevator and face the opposite direction of the direction that everybody else is facing.
Yeah, my go-to when I get in the elevator is to stand in the back and kind of just give, you know, I don't know, maybe because I'm a tall male or something like that. Let me get in the back to where people can see and can get in and out. I'm also in no hurry to get out. I'm one of those, like, ladies first type guys. But if somebody got in and they stood behind me kind of in the way she was, there's no world where you could come. I tell you, I'm getting in the back corner. So I don't know. I just feel like she wasn't tapped in because you should have seen this woman being menacing next to you. It's an elevator. What are you tapped into if you're not paying attention to the people around you?
Sometimes shit goes down when there's $1 billion on an elevator.
What? But where's there even here?
I don't know how much Alice makes, but probably not as much as Beyonce.
Beyonce, so, Jay-Z, and Solange all combined.
Seriously. The only thing, because Dre is completely getting this buzzing in her ear, you know, it's starting, and she is about to beat the hell out of Alice in a public space. And then someone else gets on the elevator and he just happens to be wearing a jacket that is cachet, the Jay-Z stand-in for his tour, FL:T. Like the 444 tour. Mm-hmm. And this guy also has a backstage badge. And so she gets a message. One of the things we haven't talked about is this whole time Dre has had Marissa's phone and she's been texting herself from Marissa's phone. And now it's like she's imagining getting these text messages as if Marissa is still alive. So she receives one and it tells her to follow the jacket. What do you think about the relationship that Dre has to her phone, Chappelle?
It is probably the it is the catalyst to a lot of her stand-up. I think that, you know, in the past when people stalk celebrities, we knew about them because it was such a high profile thing, right? I remember, you know, certain celebrities in the 90s and like actors and stuff, when they would get stalked, we would all know about it because it'd be the big news thing or something like that, because it was so difficult to get to celebrities a lot of times. They had security. They were very private. Yeah. But the internet has made the world so much smaller and a lot bigger at the same time. So it made your access to people a lot closer because you could see their day-to-days, you know, these, especially these content creators and stuff like that. We find, and you mentioned how they knew that Nyjah had the twins. You know, stuff like that used to be private. And you could tell people as you saw fit, unless TMZ beat you to it. Yeah. But now you could just check your phone. And I think because of that, she feels like she's tapped in at all times to what's going on with Nyjah. And then the other like really codependent relationship she had was with Marissa. And so it makes sense that because she has her phone in her hand all the time, if she wants access to her sister, it's going to be through the phone. And she wants access to her play sister, Nyjah, is going to be through the phone as well.
Exactly. So she gets a message saying, follow the jacket, and that person with the badge on their hip. And so that's what she does. She puts down the kettlebell, just drops it. And Alice lives to talk hate speech another day.
Yeah, I mean, she does live to talk another day, but I feel so bad for this man because he wore that jacket, minding his own damn business, and now he is now being stalked by this woman.
Yeah, so he doesn't live far from the gym at all, which is convenient as hell. After a really bad attempt to break into George's, we learn his name is George, George's house, he catches her, but she makes up a story about how she's escaping domestic violence, essentially. And Dre kind of hears like the buzzing sound. He makes her some food, but it's all really healthy. And Dre is not at all for it. What do you think of her relationship to food and especially junk food?
I thought you were going to ask me, what do I think about this fool letting this woman in his house?
Oh, that also that. Like, would you do it?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. I might not call the police right away, but I'm walking you out the door. If nothing else, you standing on the porch.
You're breaking into my house.
You getting out. That's the first thing you doing. You're not going, whatever we about to figure out, you ain't going to be in these four walls doing it. I'm sorry. He's like, oh, you're right. You are hurt. Let me bandage you up. Lady, climb your ass back out that window and I will make a phone call for you. Who is your next of kin? Who is your emergency contact? We don't have to call the police, but you got to get the hell up out of here.
He was so nice. People in this show are really nice.
And I think that this is a cautionary tale.
Yeah, that's very true. Even though this is all true. It's definitely a cautionary tale. So, he makes her food. It's all healthy. Later on, when she thinks that George is asleep, she emerges and starts getting some snacks from her bag. And then moments later, George kind of shows up and is like, you can eat it. Go ahead, eat it. So she does. And then she offers him a snack. And then they have this weird, like, snack, like, sex play thing with food, which is so funny to watch and so awkward to talk about.
Yeah. See, the thing is, I was making fun of George for being an idiot for letting this woman in the house, but George has a pet skunk.
Something is wrong with her. The boy.
Yeah. And like I said, I was looking at her through a lens of like, you know, maybe there's some something wrong with him. Okay. I'm not going to be kind to George. Why do you have a pet skunk? And then why are you laying on top of these bag of chips with this woman that you just met? Who was it? Like, yeah, I look, just George, come on, man. Someone should have called the people on both of them. Both of these people should be together, but like separately in sales wherever they need to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, they should not be in the wild. I don't think so.
I mean, I feel bad for George, honestly.
Me too.
it really does take a lot of work, like, to go from 380 pounds to whatever weight he is now. And he's been really regimented. He talks about how extreme his diet is and how he fasts for most of the day. He just eats salad all the time. And he gets to have a smoothie on weekends. Like, that's the thing that he looks forward to.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that he is so tempted by not just her, but by like just eating some snack food is very sad. And they're like, whole like oddly shoving food down each other's throats thing is like very connective, but in a weird way.
Yeah, they both of these people have insatiable appetites for whatever the case may be, right? Like, we know she has an addictive personality. She loves her snack food, her junk food. She loves her Nyjah. She loves murder, you know, the big three for most women. And then this guy loves snack food as well, and he also loves women. And I think one of those things aligned, and it was just like, if he was already tempted by the snack food, now he's tempted by a snack with a snack, you know? And so it's the snack that smiles back and he's not able to handle it. That's what happened here.
Wow. Okay. So we learn that he actually has been on this FL:T tour. And, you know, the last show is happening in LA tonight. And we know from earlier Twitter that Nyjah is going to be at the show. Basically, Dre's entire goal is to go to the show. She pretends that she likes Cachet, and he asks her, what's your favorite song? And she's like, the one about drugs.
LaTanya, what's your favorite Gucci Mane song? You can say it. the one about drugs. And that's okay. And that's okay. And that is okay. Sometimes your favorite songs by your favorite artists be the ones about drugs.
Yeah, that's true.
What's your favorite Beyonce song?
Oh, that's too hard.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. Okay. I mean, of the most recent Renaissance, I have been listening to Heated a lot lately. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot. Like, I now know all the words, even to the mm-hmm. part that she raps, which is exciting. But also Energy.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I go through different phases of, like, there's like when the album first came out, I was like, I don't know why, but I love Church Girl. I can't really explain it other than I remember the days when I was a church girl and I was like, I'm gonna party, but then I'm gonna go to church in the morning because I love Jesus.
You were gonna pop it like a thotty, pop it like a thotty.
Some might say that's what I was doing. Others wouldn't.
Beyonce said it,
so it's probably true. He asked her if she wants to come along to the show and see what she does. He does. And she's excited because it means that she's going to be in proximity to Nyjah. So after the show, someone mentions an after party. And this is so... I know they're not really a couple, like they just met, but the little argument they have is so like similar to what couples do. He's like, why don't we just... And she's like, no. We're going to the after party.
Yeah, they try to play it. I was like, well, come on, babe. Why don't we? No, it's absolutely. We're going. We're going. Let it go. Yeah. All right. Okay. What? Go for it.
So Dre is like at this after party and she's looking around and he thinks that she's looking for someplace for them to like, you know, get freaky with each other at this
to
eat more food. And yeah. She locks him in a refrigerator.
Yeah, this is bad. This is bad. and again, sir, you brought this on yourself. I would love to blame the serial killer who's obsessed with this woman and stalking her and traveling across the country to find her. But you did let this woman into your home. And then you did travel around with her and pretend that y'all were dating and you did shove food into each other's faces. Like, sir, at some point, the call is coming from inside the house.
That's true.
And she let her in the house.
She locks him in there with a big ass cake, too. So just mm-hmm. like, not only am I locked in a refrigerator, but I have tons of like
temptation.
Temptation. Thank you. Uh-huh. In front of me in terms of this giant ass cake. Thanks.
Yeah.
Shanice, if that is your real name.
It's definitely not. And I just knew they were going to find him laying on top of the cake, like Jason Biggs from American Pie. Just like ass out, balls deep in the top of that tour cake.
Yeah.
Can we say balls deep on this podcast?
I guess we can. We already did. So at the after party, Dre goes in. And I swear that one of the people who opens the door for her is Sasha Obama. Like, I swear, this woman looks so much like a grown-up Sasha Obama. And we know Malia Obama writes on this show. So it's not totally out of the realm of possibility that that's okay. who that was.
Now I got to rewatch it all over again because I definitely didn't peep that. But if it was Sasha Obama, we need to call it out.
We do. It might not be. I might just be confusing two black women.
We all
look alike.
Except Tori Kelly.
And Halsey. Who's Halsey?
And Paris Jackson. Paris Michael Catherine Jackson.
I can't believe you know her whole name.
I'm a stan.
Is Blanket's name really Blanket?
It is.
Okay. All right. There we go. Now. Dre comes into the after party, takes a look around, and who do we see but the Solange stand-in coming with a couple... Well, the first thing that happens is that she gets hit on by a guy named Jesse, who's on Grey's Anatomy.
Which is such a funny callback, right? Because we do know there is a Jesse on Grey's Anatomy. You know that. Uh-huh. But you know that Jesse had a big fall from grace. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah,
we very much do.
He had high highs. I remember he was at the forefront of the civil rights movement, the modern one. And then he had some very low lows, and then he got naked to kind of get people's mind off of it, and it worked.
It worked. It did. Yeah. But the fact that he, like, first of all, not only does she flick her cupcake at him and he continues talking, but he's like, I coined the term black girl magic.
Indeed. And what about it? All right, I jokingly said that that Blanket's real name was Blanket earlier, but you just can't take claim for certain things, you know. And so saying that this man coined the term black girl magic, even if he did, it's not something I would say aloud. I would just let somebody else have that.
But they didn't even try to give him a different name. They were just like, we are going to talk shit about Jesse in this episode.
This is the Jesse episode.
This is the Jesse episode. So we see Dre getting closer and closer to the area where Nyjah is like up and dancing and talking to people. And then they bring out a tray of fruit and this woman's work starts playing.
What does that song do for you? Like, does it evoke like a memory in your mind? Because I always think of like certain movies that play that song and every time it's absurd.
It is ridiculous every time. Mm-hmm. I just start laughing whenever I hear the first notes of it.
It's so funny because it's such a emotional and serious, like it's a serious and sensual song in a way. Yes. But it's almost always played for comedy now. You're like, whenever you hear it, you're like, oh God, like, there's an eye roll somewhere. You just can't earnestly feel like that in 2023. You know?
You can't earnestly do a lot of things.
Yeah, we don't feel like that no more. We've been broken by several different traumas at this point.
Seriously. We cannot, anything that is too just like saccharine, no, mm-hmm. It's lame. The song is lame.
Especially because, did it look like, was she eating a pear?
She was eating a plum.
Yeah, which is kind of healthy for her taste, don't you think?
Yeah, because she wasn't really eating a plum. She was biting Nyjah.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, in my mind, what made the plum even so...
Those plums look good.
They did. But again, to us, they look good. But this woman who basically lives off of Takis and Red Bull, like, oh.
This woman has gargled with Coke.
Right, exactly. She brushed her teeth with Dr. Pepper because she thought he was a dentist. You know, that's what we're dealing with here.
He's not a dentist.
Yeah, we don't know that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have my first cavity of all time. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have to go to the dentist and I'm really upset about it. So if there is a Dr. Pepper out there that will help me with this problem,
yes,
please let me know. Send me a case.
I actually used to get cavities a lot. I was, you know how they talk about those bad little kids with all the silver teeth? Yeah. Hi, it's me. I'm him.
Hi, I'm him, the problem. I'm it's
him.
Me.
It's him, Jiminy Cricket. That's me. So him Jones. That's also me. I don't really eat. I don't eat sweets anymore. I just stopped after maybe 14. I decided, you know, me and teeth, we just don't really get along. So I'm just gonna stop. And I don't eat. I really, there's like one or two candies that I will eat a year.
I figure, I've never eaten a lot of sweets, but I figure I've had a really good run to get to this age and have never had a cavity before.
Oh, it's a hella impressive. Like I said, I had caps on my teeth by the time I was like 7 or 8. I was like the back teeth, definitely a couple in the front. I used to pretend they were golds because I was ghetto. but yeah, you know, like aside from candy corn occasionally every October, yes. I really don't touch the devil's candy.
The devil's, yeah. Dre is chewing on the devil's candy. And
AKA Nyjah,
and bites her without even knowing what is happening, and it's kind of a daze, and we hear a gasp, and people are like, did you just bite Nyjah? And then people are like, why is no one protecting Nyjah? So
questions and answers.
So Dre freaks out and makes a run for it, and the episode ends with two men on the dock having a cigarette while Dre runs out back, and then finally one of them looks at the other and says, you know who that was? That chick from Love and Basketball.
So not late.
So this show has confirmed That Sanaa Lathan was the one who bit Beyonce at that party.
Basically. And that kind of, that's why I asked you what you thought about when you heard This Woman's Work, because when I hear that song, I think about Love and Basketball.
Love and Basketball?
Yeah, every time. And yeah. So that's why when I heard it, I said, huh, it's ironic. Or is it? You know, are they really it's picking not. Up Sanaa Lathan?
They're yeah. really doing it.
Sanaa Lathan could do no wrong. She could bite me any day. Today, preferably.
Sanaa Lathan is gorgeous and has looked that way for a very long time.
I bet she bites hard.
Oh, God.
And I would like to see it.
She said that if she ever did, it would just be a love bite. So it's
please
fine.
And thank you.
And yeah, that is the end of this episode. That is the end of Taste. Chappelle, thoughts overall on the episode and where you think the series is going next?
When I saw the episode was called Taste, I had no clue they thought that it was going to be a taste of Nigel. Like, they were literally going to bite her and taste her. And then I thought, okay, well, now that she's actually gotten a literal bite of her, does that increase her want for her? You know, that she's always fantasized about being close to her, about being her vicinity, about hearing her music up close, about talking to her, being her best friend. But right. now she's actually physically touched this person, and with her lips of like that she we know that her and her mouth have a thing, right? Her right. She's always consuming stuff, pies, cakes, you know, I said Takis, all that good stuff. And now she's bit probably the sweetest piece of candy she's ever tasted, which is Nyjah. And so I wonder if that's going to be a shift in how crazy that she is. You know, does that turn up the heat, or does she go in the complete opposite direction? And it's just, like, I have to now make it up for her. Like, I did this thing. It's probably going to go viral, as we know the Beyonce story did. And so is it now, I have to now fix this. How do I prove to her that was a mistake, that I didn't mean to, that I'm you know, we're meant to be? Does she have a stand moment, even like an Eminem stand moment, you know, not a, you know, new age stand moment, but a, you know, drive your car off a bridge with the people in the back seat stand moment,
yeah,
you know? So that's why. So I kind of enjoyed that. That's how it ended. Cause I was thinking, okay, now we got action.
Yeah. And the next several episodes are really propulsive. If you have not watched ahead, you're going to really enjoy episodes 4 and 5, which is what Mari and I are going to be talking about next week. For those of you who do not know, and how could you not know at this point, we have a Patreon. And if you want to support our work, you can sign up to make that possible. If you love podcasts like Swarm or like Snowfall, and you're a fan of me and Chappelle and Mari, and you want coverage of shows like this, then consider signing up at any level. When you do so, you'll get some special patron perks, including our lively discussion channel on our patron Discord. There are tons of people who are happy to discuss your likes and dislikes right there. So go to patreon.com/postshowrecaps and support PSR and its podcasters. You can also check us out at our own feed, everybody.
Yes.
Subscribe to the podcasts, plural. Yes. At postshowrecaps.com/connect. You can also email us at connect@postshowrecaps.com. And I'm just putting this out there because it made me happy. You can email me particularly at latanya@postshowrecaps.com. Just makes me so happy. So plug in postshowrecaps.com/connect to your podcaster of choice. Give us those 5-star glowing ratings that we deserve. We deserve them. We want them. We see nothing but 5 stars. And thank yes. you to the people who have already written in. We got some feedback yesterday that I won't read here because it's not about Swarm.
I was about to say, what? No, yeah. No, we didn't. No. Not here.
We got some feedback yesterday about Snowfall, and it was really great. And we love hearing from you all. So thank you so much for all of that. Chappelle. One of the busiest men on the internet. Tell us what you are up to.
Tis I. You know, when I'm intruding in Black women's business, like I am here on this podcast, when I'm not doing that, I am over there on Poster Recaps, of course, like you said, talking about Snowfall and our Connect, but also talking about Grey's Anatomy with Ariel on Grey's Anatomy's Anatomy, our podcast series where we talk about Grey's Anatomy every month, because there's too many episodes to talk about Grey's every week. And we're going to talk about some old Grays too. So if you're a Grays fan and you enjoyed hearing me make fun of myself and others, then you got to hear what I got to say about, you know, some of the past shenanigans on Grey's Anatomy. So check that out on postshowrecaps.com. Also on Post Show Recaps, Puya and I are covering Bel Air on Peacock on our podcast, Bel Air Post Show Recaps, wherever you get your recaps at. So check that out and subscribe to Bel Air Post Show Recap and enjoy Puya and I talking about this second season of Bel Air. Speaking of second seasons, myself and Gia Worthy are talking about Abbott Elementary on Abbott Elementary, a Post Show Recap. Y'all catching the pattern here. So check that out as well, wherever it is found. And then you can check out Nothing But Netflix on Rob Has a Podcast, where every week we talk about Netflix shows. Myself and leader Rob Cesternino, we talk about Netflix shows, the hottest shows, the most popular shows, and then even sometimes we do interviews. Not to spoil this week on Nothing But Netflix, but we did an interview this week instead of just talking about a show. So check that out as well. And then follow me on Twitter at Chappelle's_show. And let me know, you know, if you have any suggestions for Nothing But Netflix, if you have any feedback. Well, potentially, if you have any feedback about this podcast, about Swarm and these episodes that I was on for Swarm, leave a 5-star review and put it in there. Like, so yes. If you want to drag me about calling you a psychopath or whatever, put it in the 5-star review, because if it's not in the 5-star review, I definitely won't see it. If you tweet it to me, I won't see it. But if you leave a 5-star review, I will see you dragging me and talking about The Hive. Just throwing it out there.
Leave that 5-star review. Drag Chappelle.
Yep. 5-star review. It's like a dunk take. You give us a 5-star review, you get to say whatever you want about me. And I'm exactly. Fine. I can take it.
You can take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've been doing this for a while. We could take a lot.
and half.
Yeah. Other than talking about Snowfall and Swarm, you can catch me and Marissa Garza and our special guest Asia this week wrapping up our coverage of You season 4. Season 5 has just been announced. The show has been renewed for a 5th and final season, so we are excited. We'll talk about that and so much more. Josh Wigler and I are doing Versus. We're back on our bullshit. And we are discussing the top 2 watercolor cooler shows of this current era, Succession and Yellow Jackets, where it is truly eat or be eaten. So please tune in for that. And don't forget to send us categories if you have any in mind. You can do this on the Discord, or you can send them to me, Latanya at postshowrecaps.com. I am also doing the Mandalorian feedback show with DM Philly and Brendan Fitzpatrick, so you can check me out there. And if you love Rahap, like we both love Rahap, then you can find me podcasting there too. I am working with Haley and Kurt, and we are doing the Top Chef podcast, which had special guest Asia this week because Kurt is out. So I get to podcast with Asia twice in 1 week, and it's truly a glorious time.
You are so lucky. I never podcast with Asia. She doesn't
really?
Like me.
Oh, yeah, come on. I'm joking. Yeah. So if you want to know more about what I'm doing, you can follow me on Twitter at LK Starks. And if you want to see more of what I'm up to, you can follow me on Instagram at Stormborn1222. Chappelle, thank you so much for being here today and filling in for Mari and talking about all of the wonderful things of these 2 episodes and some of the more ridiculous things of these 2 episodes of Swarm.
Ridiculous things is kind of my wheelhouse. Yeah. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Mari, for sitting this week out and letting me run amok a little bit, because I know she's rolling her eyes somewhere listening to this right now and she is not happy. But yeah, anytime y'all want me back, just text me, because we got to talk about it. Scheduling is kind of crazy right now, but I would like to come back if possible later on. Maybe. I don't know what these last few episodes look like, but I'm going to check them out.
Check them out. All right. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Until next time, this has been The Swarm.